Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of UX Bootcamp. We are super excited to be here again helping you on your UX career growth. And this time, we will cover the very, very, very feared topic, the first job. I know I was super scared when I started my first job. I mean, I was excited, but very scared. So to jump right into it, I will welcome again my dear colleague and co-host, Jarek. Welcome, Jarek. And let's jump into it. How do we find ourselves in the huge process that is working in UX for the first time?
Hi, everyone. So the first question, what is it like? To be honest, it's probably the same thing. It basically applies to every industry. When you're starting, you will probably feel a little scared. What's going to happen? What should I do? Probably some of my schematics are different than the company's ones. So it can feel weird, but don't worry about it. It's always like that. And today we will try to, a little bit at least, tell you how you should feel in this environment, how you should avoid certain things. Starting with like the first thing that you will probably do is the onboarding and beginnings. So onboarding, it's probably, I don't know if I need to describe it that much, but it's basically the first week of your work that you will try to learn as much as possible about the company, about how they work. And what on this stage, it's really important, it's really crucial to ask every question that comes to your mind. So everything, I mean everything. If you want to just ask, for example, can I go for a 1 hour walk between my working hours? Yeah. That's the question you should ask, because sometimes it may occur that it's no, you should work from 6 to 5. So remember that asking is the crucial thing. And in the future, you will avoid any problems, any misunderstandings by doing that.
Yeah, I think the first week is very important to ask, even like, what is the payday? Should I send an invoice if it's an invoice work, for example? When should I send the invoice? Things that you don't ask when you're doing the interview, but you have to ask, because are you going to wait until the last day of the month to ask when you should count your hours and send your invoice? So things like this is the things you should ask. The administrative things that people sometimes forget to ask. And this week is the week that you're allowed to like have all these questions and all these and like these things going in your mind, and you take notes of everything. Like, when is the lunchtime? When is like things like small things like that, that will, you need to know. So remember guys, onboarding week, first week is a time to ask questions. So keep that in mind and don't leave these questions unanswered until the last week of the month.
Exactly. So especially really important thing is to have a calls with everybody. So if you have a small team, maybe you have small company, it's useful to have call with everyone, to be honest. And if you have like big company, you should talk to your team, basically, for everyone. I mean, it depends, because you can work basically remotely, then you need to have a call. But if you work in the office, you can just hang around with them. It's really important, because they can, if you first come up with initiative, then they will feel like, okay, he or she wants to work here. She, like, it's a good thing in general.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really important, and it depends on the like company that you're working in, it's basically if you're working with the clients or on the product-based company. So, I mean, the workflow can be a little bit different when you're working on one single product. Usually, the deadlines aren't that tight. You have like a really open relationship with like your lead, or like the people on top. It's like a little bit different than the client-based work, because then you have like someone out of your organization. But usually the work will be somewhere around the same, but there are certain differences.
Yeah, I think it's the way you deal with the final client is a little bit different when you're working in a company and then your client is the company you're working for. And then you, I think, like you said, you have a way more open line of communication, back and forth things that when you're working for an outside client, external client is a little bit more tricky, more complicated. And there are certain communications that you have to worry about, the types of like things you write, things you say that you have to worry about. And then it's a little bit tricky. So if you're questioning this, and if you're in a client basis company, if you're questioning how should you act, how should you write, you can always ask your supervisor, your superior, your colleague. They're there to help you. You know, it's a team. We work as a team. So it's your first job. No one expects you to know everything. So always ask to your colleague or your supervisor or whoever is working with you. They're there to help you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we wrap up nicely the onboarding
yeah.
So
I think with that, I said like the thing about questions and feedback. How do we stand? Sometimes, I remember when I was starting, I was always scared to ask questions because I was always scared to look stupid and to ask for feedback and like, and scared of making mistakes. And if I make mistake, they're going to fire me. So how do you think we should have our, like, how do you think we should stand on that position of like asking questions and asking for feedback?
It's crucial, to be honest. I mean, if you work in the closed environment only with you at computer, you won't learn anything and you will probably, you won't know all of the things that's important in your job. So feedback and questions for your lead or your senior designer that's on top, it's really important. I mean, you should do this each day. I know they will get and they can be annoyed, but that's their job, to be honest, at first. If you're learning, it's normal. So don't worry. If you don't know something like basic, so I don't know if we are using or in the company, the people are using some of the shortcuts for certain things. I don't know, the SAS, for example, and you don't have a clue what is it, just ask or Google it as fast as possible. Just don't. Yeah. I know that feeling because when I was in high school, sometimes my friends were chatting about something and I have no clue what they're talking about. And I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, and it started conversation. But afterwards, there was a problem because they unfortunately asked me, so what do you think about it? Or like, what do you know? What do you think we are talking about? And I was like, fuck, I don't have a clue.
Me too. So, I was like this.
Just ask questions. So basically, you can see that the people who are asking questions and are not afraid to say, I don't know, are probably the most, the smartest ones. Yes, yeah. Usually when they're talking a lot, it means that they want to overwhelm you with your words or they just like talking. And if you sit silent, ask questions, honestly say that you don't know what it is, it feels that you're actually interested and it feels like you can basically say that I'm wrong on something. And that's really important.
Yeah. Before we were like making fun of the people. Like when we are young, we make fun of the people that have like these little notebooks where they take notes of everything they say. And like, oh, it's so nerdy. But at the end, this person knows everything and have everything noted. And if they forget, it's there, noted. And you, if they ask you a question, you're like, you don't know how to answer. So being nerdy, I mean, what we have in our minds as being nerdy is actually a good thing. You know, you're showing that you're interested. You're showing that you're interested in learning, in growing, in learning new things. And if it's your first job, that's what we're talking about. You're there to learn. that's that, like, they know you're there to learn. They might be annoyed, not because you're asking a question, but because they have so much to do and they don't have time to answer or things like that. But if they hired you as a junior or as a person that has a first job, they have to have in mind that that you don't know certain things and they need to help you. They need to guide you. So don't be afraid. I mean, don't be like me. I was afraid a lot and I learned the hard way. So don't be afraid. Just ask. Put your head like there, out there, and just ask for feedback. And feedback like helps you grow, especially on UX.
Yeah, I mean, one important note is that on the onboarding phase, you need to learn about the company that you're working in. So be conscious about this, because sometimes their culture may be a different one. So maybe asking for feedback is not necessarily the things that they usually do. So try to basically accommodate at first, try to learn how they're doing it, and not like go straight forward to the main channel and ask everyone, "Hi guys, I made this button, what do you think?" Because if you're working in 100 plus team, they will be pissed off. I mean, it's not important.
Yeah.
So learn a hierarchy. Learn like the usual things that they do to get feedback, to get certain things. It's really important at this stage. And also, like, learning about the company and learning how they work, it's super important to basically know your responsibilities. And that's actually a different topic, but I think we can fluidly jump to it. So the overall your responsibilities, so how you should showcase yourself, how you should showcase your work, how should you work. So it's really crucial, because I didn't know that at first. How basically I've been given a task and I have like 1 week to do this. What should I do? So the really important thing,
tell me.
The really, really important thing is that don't go too fast and create it in 2 days. Because they will learn that you're the fast one. And I mean, at the first, you can try to do this, but maybe not basically.
Not the thing that fast.
Here's the thing what I thought. I was like, I work in the company where the first company that I worked in was like really fast. We've like rushed through everything. And the problem is that I've showcased that I can do this. So everyone knows that I can make some screen in 3 days, but that was really tight for me. So remember, be cautious about it. If you created something and you think it's good, that's great. But if you have like 4 days left, think about
iterate it.
Improve it. Because usually for me, and probably for a lot of designers, the usual work looks like this. So basically you create something that it's, and you created it, and if you feel, Jesus, that's okay, that's cool, we can go with it. But actually, then after 3 days, you may not be doing exactly the same amount of work, but it's harder because you need to improve upon it.
Yeah.
And usually that's the process. So remember to use the full time that you've been given. It also depends on if you're a client or product-based company. Because if you're product-based, and internally, you can always share your work with your lead. They will know that you have 1 week. They will see it. Okay, you're almost done, but that's okay. Then you have 3 days to iterate or do something else that you want. But if on the client-based, it's totally not a good thing. If you're just like in 2 days, just you have like 2 weeks on something and you basically done in 4 or 5 days, you share it. And they will be okay. We're good with this. Why are we paying you for two weeks work? And they will be pissed.
That thing of the time is it works in other positions as well, not only in UX. Is like when you show that you're too fast, the next time they will not give you 1 week. They will give you 2 days because you're fast. And then it creates you psychologically a pressure to finalize that in 2 days. So you are giving yourself, you're putting yourself in that position and you're putting the pressure on yourself. You created the situation. So like if you're given 7 days or 2 weeks or like 5 days, whatever, use the whole time. Either do it slow, take your time, or like you said, do it fast as you normally do it and then go back to the beginning and revise everything, create other options, iterate on it. And that works for UX designers and for other positions as well. If you have a strategy plan to create and you create the strategy plan in 2 days, go back to the beginning, look at it again, see if you made any mistakes before you delivered that, because otherwise you're just creating a pattern that after you create that pattern, it's so hard to go back and show that, look, I'm under pressure, I need more time. So it's really hard to break that pattern. So don't create that pattern when you're starting.
Yeah, it's, I think it's get like you all learn that through the experience, because it's really hard to basically judge everything, how much time it will take me to create something. It's really hard. It's like one of the hard, to be honest, it's one of the hardest skills in the UX industry. It's because you need, it's super hard. Just, it's super hard. I had at my first job, I had some errors with my employee because I said that, oh, no problem. 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks and I will be done. But it wasn't like that. I was the 1 week through and we are on the wireframe phase. And I was like, shit, what now? And I need to work my ass off. So remember that. Don't overwork yourself and don't like showcase that you're really fast. Of course, internally, you can discuss that. You can showcase, okay, I've done it like this, but I need a couple of days more to iterate on it.
Yes.
Remember, just we are not saying you shouldn't try. You should like give 100% of yourself, but be cautious about it. Like spread it through the time that you've been given.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Totally agree with you. I mean, and if there is anyone that is not in UX design or is like in another industry that are listening to us because they really like our voices, that works for other industries as well. Be cautious about the time that you've been given and be honest about it, but be cautious about it and don't create a pressure pattern that you won't be able to handle after. I think that's something really important to say. And also, I mean, there is a fear towards the lead, the supervisor, the senior. They are in a position that we're like, oh my God, they are untouched. They are like, we can't touch them. They are untouchable. They are God and we are just a medium, something like this, you know. And how do we face it? Like, how do we break this pattern and like get closer to them? Have like a healthy relationship between lead and junior. How do you work that?
Yeah. So again, it comes with an experience, but don't be scared. It's just a human. It's not a god. Do you see them bleed? they're ordinary people, but just with a more experience than you. They were at your position. Basically, they were juniors. They understand how it works. So ask questions. And one thing that's really, really nice to have, like when you're starting your work, is be the devil's advocate. Even if a lead said to you that do it like this, always question that. Just, I know that they're probably right, but if you question that basically with you only and check if it's really right, you can learn why it's right. But if it's wrong and you said to your lead, hey, I found this article or I've researched something and I see that this solution is better than this one, they will be impressed. It's one of the most important things. Don't be scared and propose your ideas, because usually the studies show, it's actually really mind-blowing, because studies show that on some cases, students can have basically their judgment can be better than the professors, for example, because they are so deep in certain things. They're like, their eyes are closed on one thing, but the students have open minds. So they're not familiar with any patterns. And usually the combination of those two, so student and professor working together, can basically achieve the best results possible. Because professor knows all the rules, and students have an open mind and will question everything. And that's really important for the junior. Question everything. Of course, don't be like the one annoying person where asking, okay, but why this color on the bottom? Or why do we using a hero section instead of, I don't know, the landing page? What the hell? Don't be like
common
this.
Common sense.
Yeah, common sense. It's really important. It's really, again, it's hard to learn this thing, because what's in the common sense margin and what's not? Usually, well, it's like a small change, something like border radius. And they say, it's don't look okay. Just do this. You should listen to them. It's because on the UX side, it's more technical. But on the UI side, sometimes it's more artsy. So usually that's also the one of the hardest things to learn. It's to learn the whole visual feeling about the interface. You won't get it at your first time. You will probably do something terrible. But then senior will come, will change the spacing, change the sizes, change the border radius, and then it will look fine. How he's done it? It's not like he read tons of articles and probably books, but also due to experience. You will learn that through your work time.
Yeah. I think it's important to understand that you will find leads that have a very bad personality, and they will be rude. They will be annoyed by any question. It's normal. We're humans. We're all humans. And as humans, we have different personalities and we act differently. And there are people that are a little bit more arrogant when they arrive in a certain position and they don't want to help others. You will find those. And we're not HR managers. We're not here. Unfortunately, I mean, we can tell about our experience and how we dealt with it, but, it's hard to say, oh, you have to act like this or like that when you encounter someone like this with a difficult personality on your life. So we're here to say that on a general rule, most of the leads are nice people, and they were in the same position as you were not that long ago, and they are happy to help you. They are happy to guide you through it, and they are there for this. That's a part of their scope of work as well. So they have to do it. That's what we want to say. Like, don't be afraid. They are not untouchable. I know we have that when we were starting, and I had that. I mean, everyone has that. But don't be afraid. Just use common sense when asking certain questions, and don't be like that stupid. But just go for it. You're fine. And I mean, one thing that I have to ask you, Yarik, I mean, you have made mistakes. I have made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. How did you react when you made your first big mistake?
Oh, Jesus. it's a hard topic to, maybe not, it's not hard to discuss, but it's hard to digest when you're first fail.
Yeah.
But it will happen, I guarantee you, and it will happen many times. So what should I do?
What should I do? Do I cry? Do I cry? Do I run? Do I hide?
Only in bed when you're covered with your sheet. Then you can cry, but you cannot showcase it to your lead. You just need to be really calm and focused. No, just kidding. You can cry. No, you can. So about this, you will fail probably miserably at some point. But you know what? Actually, all of us failed at some point. So it's not something, basically, it's not something that's not common to the seniors, for example. Basically, the failing process. I mean, you should always try your best to deliver something. If you failed, don't worry. When it's your first time or second, and it's not like something like you should create an app in 1 month and you've created one screen, that's out of the question. That's really bad. You should rethink your basically work schedules. But if you fail on something that is like, okay, it's pretty bad, but we can handle it, don't worry. They won't fire you. So there's certain types of fails. The first type, let's just categorize that. It will be easier to basically
explain.
Talk about. Yeah. First type is like the small ones, such as, for example, create a report each day for your lead. What have you done and what you will be doing for the next 2 days? And if you forget about it, it's really bad. It's such a simple thing that you should always remember that. So don't fail on this, on the first category, because it's like the simplest things that you, if you fail on that, either you're lazy or either you forget. It's not hard. You should do this every day. Being late for meetings. It's not a good sign for you, for the junior. For like the first couple of months, you should be really, really hard on it. After some time, You always should really hard on it. But remember, that's important thing. The second type is when you create an interface and it sucks. It's an example. Or if you cannot transfer the wireframes for the design, or if the functionality just doesn't work and you have 2 days for it and you're stuck. It happens. They can be pissed off. So the either client or like your senior, but it's nothing personal. Remember, if it's personal, then you should go away and just leave this job and find another one because it's not professional. Usually they will be pissed, but it's nothing personal. They will give you some guidance and then you will create something awesome. Don't panic. It happens. You can feel a little sorry about it. Don't be like, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please don't fire me. I beg you, don't do it like this. We're not like in the kindergarten. Really important about this, about your fails. First, try to avoid them as much as possible. If you see that you will fail at some point. So if you're like on Tuesday and on Friday, you should deliver some interface and you see that you're totally stuck. ASAP, call your senior and try to figure it out. Because usually it will be like 1 hour session and then you're good to go. I had this recently with our projects. I was so stuck in certain design, I couldn't handle it. And I have like 4 or 6 hours left. And I would probably come up with something, but I just asked our lead and 30 minutes. And it was like, you should add the dot here. And I was like,
okay,
maybe. Or you should add like text here. I was, oh, that's pretty easy solution. And it actually works. So remember, try to avoid fails by doing it. And after you fail, try to make some conclusions about it. Just your thoughts. Make a summary. Yeah. Create something like this for you so you avoid it next time.
I think there are two things that our lead tells us, and that's applicable to this. Is one thing is accountability. So be accountable for your mistakes. Don't like everyone makes mistakes, and like show that you feel responsible for it. That don't like Yarek said, don't say I'm sorry. You can apologize. Say I apologize for it, and I'll fix it. And that's it. Be accountable for it and say, I'm going to fix it. Either ask for help or say, I have a solution. This is a solution. It's going to be ready in this amount of time. Be accountable for your mistakes. It's important. It shows that they can rely on you, that they can count on you, that you're there and you know you made a mistake and that won't happen again. Because you are a human being. Everyone makes mistakes. Even like presidents of huge countries make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. So you're allowed to make mistakes, but you have to be accountable for all your mistakes. And also another thing that he tells us all the time is that the mistakes makes us better, because it's when you fail that you learn. And you learn that that does not work, and then you're going to find another solution. And sometimes that other solution might not work, but you're going to find another solution, and you're going to find another solution until it works. So use that mistake as a learning process to whatever it is your final result needs to be. It's either UX research, UX design, or a final project, or whatever it is. Use that to learn from it and improve on it. So that's the two things that I'm reminding here our dear lead founder, CEO, Baron Marafsha. He's very wise on these things. And I think it kind of like helps us and gives us confidence to like, okay, I made a mistake, but I'm learning from it. I'm accountable for it, and I'm going to make it better. So be confident that you made a mistake, but you can improve. I mean, you're going to make it better.
And one thing, it's more a UX specific thing. So everyone that are not UX or UI designers, close your ears. We were talking about right now on only on the UX things. About the fails, it's really, so basically, like be more strict and to showcase you some real example how you can avoid fails, or how you can showcase that even you failed, you at least tried. The really good thing when you're learning is that showcasing your process each time. So if you need to create screen A, always showcase two variants more. And it's really nice to have some explanation when you're presenting it. Even at your first, if the client or your lead sees it, then they will be, okay, that's nice. You didn't go only with one screen, you've created two more. It's really crucial for the clients. They can see that you worked on it, not like created one screen and then just forget about it. Always showcase your process and always try to basically create something more, a little bit more.
Yeah. And we actually had a video of that on our TikTok from our dear colleague Shihiro. She recorded a video about her day as a UX designer. How is your day as a UX designer? A typical day on your life as a UX designer. Tell me.
In my opinion, when you're starting your job, and if it's remote, it's crucial to have some habits that can that basically can guide you through the day.
Yeah.
It's really important because I've started remotely, then I go a little bit to the office, but then I'm fully remote right now. You can become a lazy person if you're working in your home, and it can affect your even mental health. Why? So, for example, when you're working from your bed, your brain will familiarize your bed with your work. And then if you go to the sleep, your brain will be like, have you done this task properly? Or do you have a call at 8 a.m. tomorrow? You won't sleep. Of course, it won't happen in your first month if you're working from your bed, but you need to think in longer timelines. It will affect you at some point. So I've made this mistake. I found out that I'm really tired of working remotely because I work from my bed with shorts on, just like being lazy, clicking on the computer. It's really at first it's like, oh, that's my dream job. I'm just laying and making some fun stuff. But you should make some habits and some restrictions so that you won't go nuts. So first things that I do is basically when I wake up, I will just do the usual routine, coffee and so on. But even though I'm at home, I'm usually dressed like I want to go outside.
Office.
It's like such a simple thing, but it helps you mentally prepare for that you won't be working.
I totally agree. I do the same. I have to get dressed.
Exactly. It's and at first it was so hard because when I was waking up at 7 a.m. and I was like, Jesus, I need to get out of the bed. Maybe I will take my laptop. No, you need to.
On winter, when it's super cold.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, it's the worst. Sucks. It sucks. But actually, if you do this, if you just push yourself and do this for like 2 months or 3 months, then it will be a habit. And
yeah,
I assure you that at some point you will wake up, then stay at your desk. You will be dressed. You have your teeth brushed and you will have a coffee and you will be like, oh, I didn't remember what I've done, but I'm just standing here. So yeah, the habits when starting the work, when finishing work, is really important. Other thing that I'm doing is basically have a separate environment for my work. So I'm working basically only at my desk. I'm not working in a bed, just to remind my brain that here I'm working and on my bed I'm just relaxing. Of course, you I had some bad days when I needed just to work from my bed, but that's not like the usual thing. So that's the one really, really important one.
Yeah.
About like the starting your work.
And make that part like that office, I think it's important that we mentioned, like, make that part of your house that is your office, your desk, make that comfortable, and also make that look like it's an actual office, you know. Put stuff like some people put a photo thing of the family, make it into a real office that will give you the sensation that you are in an office and not at home. I think it's important to defer those two places. Like you said, like, sometimes I just want to sit down and lie like with my legs up a little bit, and then I sit down on my couch and then I put my legs up for like an hour and then I go back to it's okay if you like, if you just want to change positions and all that, it's okay. But make sure that you have a place that is your office, that you're like, this is my work space. This is where I work.
Exactly. What usually helped me is also go to the coffee shop, for example.
I have to start doing that to see people.
Yes, it's really important. I mean, there are a lot of benefits of working remotely, but you need to be aware of certain things that if you are not doing right, they will affect your mental health, which is super important in our life and the recent life we live in. So remember that. And about the whole working process, I'm learning that constantly, but it's really, really, really a good habit to separate certain parts of your work. So if you have calls at certain hours and like you have like 30 minutes in between them, don't try to create something like the 6 design pages in this 30 minutes, because our brain just basically, it's like the bank of energy. It's like your main computer. But when you plug in, you go to the sleep or you eat. And basically, if you're working, each change of your mindset will affect your energy level. So if you're reading emails and browsing through it, so it's like a really, really simple task without thinking too creative. So you need to check something, check your email, and then you do it for half an hour on an hour. Do it once a day. Don't go 15 minutes checking email, then 2 hours, then 1 hour of design, then 15 minutes checking email, because it will cost you tons of energy, the switch of your thinking. If you need to think like mathematically, do this for the certain part of your day, finalize it, and then go with your creative work. And that's what
There is one thing on that. I saw something. Like the good things we see on social media, like sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good. And I saw one influencer, she has like on her iPad or on her phone, is like an application. I can find out what is the application exactly and put it on the description on the episode, like we normally do. It's an application that it's kind of like it lets you, it's a big timer that's going to be on your phone here in the front instead of like just a normal timer. And then it's going to give you the time that you allocate to that certain activity. So for example, if you take half an hour a day to study, let's say you're doing an extension course, whatever, and you take half an hour a day to study, and then you put your cell phone or your tablet or iPad, whatever, and you put it here with the half an hour, like gigantic. Once that finished, then you finish that, and then you wrap it up and you move into the second activity, and don't go back to the other activity and keep jumping back and forth. So I think timing, if you have a difficulty on timing, on just looking at the clock, use this timer, like either a big timer or just a small timer on your phone, to time your like, I'm allocating 1 hour to do this. Do 1 hour, and then you move into the second thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it will be different across everyone, because we usually have a different work routine. But remember to group the things. So creative things together, like analyzing research together, checking email, responding to messages, one thing. Group it so you just don't jump from one place to another. And yeah, that's like the work routine. And the last thing about the day is the finishing hours. And that's really important. Again, if you're working if you're working from 8 to 4, for example, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., work in this time period. Don't go each day on like 8 p.m. and check your email. If your job is really fun, yeah, I know it's tempting, but you need to find some balance in your life. You need, because it can be fun at first, because when you're enjoying your work, it's amazing that you can basically work anytime. But remember, after like 2 or 3 years doing that, you will create a habit. And even if you're on the vacation, you will check your phone at 6 p.m. or 10 p.m. With your drink in your hand, and you will be checking Slack messages.
Always worried. Yes. Always worried. So, always worried.
Try to separate, and everything that I'm doing through my day is to try as much separate my personal life from my work days, work life. Of course, at some level, like if your work is so fun and you have friends inside, it can be a little fluid, of course, because when we, for example, share some fun stuff on like, I don't know, the metaverse or like tips, something or like memes, that's okay, like that's totally fine. But try to separate these things, at least for your basically first job. If you're like the CEO or you're starting your company, it's probably not possible, because you need to work your ass off like 12 hours a day. But try to keep it as separated. Sometimes can be fluid, but don't go too far, like checking your phone 10 p.m. and stressing out about the meeting. Because if you're
learning, I think, it creates a pattern. Like I said before, it creates a pattern, not only for you, that you're going to be constantly worried that something has happened, and you'll be constantly checking your phone, your messages, your Slack, your Discord, everything. It creates a pattern to your seniors, your superiors as well, because if they message you at, I don't know, midnight, and you reply, they will know that you are available at that time. So it creates human beings are beings of habits and patterns. So if we create a pattern, it kind of locks a little key on our heads, and then we have that on it. Oh, but I messaged them at 10 o'clock and they replied, so I can always message them at 10 o'clock. So don't create that pattern, because then after, like I said, to break that pattern is really hard. To distance is really hard. So start by creating that point of distance. Of course, don't be completely away. And if the world is falling apart, you're like, I don't care, it's out of my working hours. Don't be like that. But at the same time, common sense, as we always say, use common sense. If they are asking something that can wait until the next day, wait until the next day. Don't answer right away.
Yeah, it also depends. If you're working for a huge company and they asking something really urgent even after your working hours, I don't think you should respond, because like this is such a huge company and they are not dependent on like the junior that started. So don't care about it. But if you're working at a small startup, you need to think about this, that you're basically, due to like more freedom and more like the fun approach, you need sometimes to respond on certain things. Of course, don't respond every time. If it's like something like, hey, I don't see your file, where is it? Tomorrow is a deadline. Then you can respond to it. So that's really important. And one thing that we didn't mention is like working hours can be fluid. So it's not strictly like from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can work during the night. It depends on your company and
productivity. On your workflow.
But basically what we are saying is that to separate these things. If you're working, you're working. If you're have a fun day on the swimming pool, you have fun day on swimming pool, don't work there. Of course, there are some like special days when you woke up and you see that you are just not in the mood and you will start working at 10 a.m. That's completely fine. Unless, okay, it's completely fine.
Depends on the company.
Yeah, but it depends on the company. Always learn that through your onboarding, because it can be like mistaken sometimes.
Yeah, I think also, like we were saying, depends on the company. If you're starting to work in a company that gives you this flexibility that you can work, you can start in the morning, finish in the afternoon, or you can start after lunch and finish in the evening, be sure to allocate your hours on the time that you are more productive. Some people are morning people. They wake up and they're super productive and they are super fast. And they like 7 o'clock in the morning and they're like, bum, bum, bum. Some people, they are more productive in the afternoon. So make sure to know yourself and know what time am I more productive. I'm more productive in the afternoon. So I'm going to start at 10, then I'm going to have an easy morning and then I can finish it a little bit later. I'll be more productive. I'll be able to deliver better work than if I start really early. So if the company you're working for gives you that flexibility, allow yourself to allocate your hours and make sure that you are more productive on those hours. Sometimes you're not allowed that that good thing. Most of the times now we are, and we're working remotely most of the times now, but some companies still work in a very hard, like 9-to-5 kind of job. And I mean, it happens. We have to do what we have to do. But if you are, make sure you're productive. I think that kind of wraps up what our talk for today. We talked so many nice things. It was really nice having you with me again, Jarek, as always. And next week, we are back with another episode of UX Bootcamp. Again, as I always say, join us on Discord. Jarek is there. I'm there. And we have so many nice people that are joining us now that actually listen to our podcast and knows us and come and ask us questions. And we are so happy to answer you all. We are available all the time. I mean, not all the time, like we said, but we are mostly available online for nice conversations, depending on the questions. No, I'm joking. I mean, we'll answer all your questions, but depending on the time of the day, we might take a little time, but we do. And there's no right and wrong. We're there to talk and to have a nice conversation. We can talk about anything, about life, about work, about the weather. We just like talking and chatting, really, and meeting people in this remote work life. So come join us, come talk to us, and stay tuned for another episode of UX Bootcamp next week. I think we're going to have a guest, right? I think it's next week we're going to have a guest. Who is that going to be? Surprise, surprise. I'm not going to say it. You're going to have to stay tuned and watch and listen to the next episode and know who is the surprise guest. Anyway, thanks, Jarek. That was really fun today again. And I see you next week.
Thank you. Have a nice day, guys. Bye.
Bye.